See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that in heaven, their angels always behold the face of my Father who is in heaven. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep, and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So, it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish.
Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured,
"This man receives sinners and eats with them."
So he told them this parable.
What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance.
I was reflecting on those two scripture passages. There's two different beginnings to those stories. The first one talks about this responsibility not to lose little ones. And the second one in the Gospel of Luke talks about what? It talks about this drawing in of people who are maybe not worthy to receive grace. And in those beginnings is really where I wanted to start my talk. I want to begin maybe with my personal story and then leave you with some questions to think about as you go off to your small groups. When I thought about this, I thought about my own middle school experience. And middle school was pretty terrible for me. I had a lot of issues when I was growing up. And I think the best way to maybe say it to you is that I had some learning disabilities, some physical disabilities, and I had them when I was in kindergarten and in first and second grade. But as you get older and you mature into middle school, you become aware of your own problems, I think, in a very real way. You realize, hey, you know what? I'm not the best swimmer. I'm not the best person intellectually in the class. And so a lot of things came down the pike for me, and I began to feel like I didn't have a place or I was lost. One of the examples that I want to maybe use to highlight that story for you is this. When I was in middle school, I had a teacher, and she knew that I needed to be better organizationally. She wanted me to be better organizationally, you know, putting the math assignment in the math folder and the English assignment in the English folder. That's not how my brain works, but she was very, 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 how do I want to put it? She wanted to enforce that in my life to the point where it became to the point where she began to belittle me. You know, my desk was disorganized constantly, and she would actually, in the middle of class, you know, with everyone sitting around, go look inside the desk. This was at a Catholic school, mind you. Look inside the desk, and then just decide to dump it out in front of my whole classmates and everybody on the floor. They just tip the desk up and say, "Okay, you can roll over and get your, you know, glue stick that's rolled all the way underneath the radiator. You can go pick it up." And this was a regular thing in my classes that my teachers were trying to motivate me to maybe be more responsible or whatever, but disability is disability. And I didn't matter how many times she dumped my desk on the floor in front of all my classmates as they're laughing and, you know, helping me pick up pencils and pens. A few of my friends would do that. It just made me feel incredibly lost. I was incredibly lost. And I'm glad to see that, you know, in the snapshot of a year that I've been here, that, you know, your school is a much more positive environment. And, you know, teachers aren't doing that. But week after week, because I wasn't meeting assignments and I needed more help, my parents would be meeting with these teachers and they'd be talking with my three middle school teachers about getting me help. And nothing worked. There was no organizational thing that would work. I was pretty bad in math. The one person who said, "I love math," who was, I'm like, I still probably cannot do math at the level you can do it. And so this just made me feel incredibly lost, incredibly, where am I going to turn to? And so I thought, you know what, the first thought that crossed my mind when I hit eighth grade, I was like, because my middle school was so terrible, I was like, I am ditching this whole Catholic school thing. And so I was out of there. I immediately went to public school. I said to my mom, I want to go to public school. And well, I was registered to go to the Catholic school. I was all set to go to the Catholic school. But I knew it would just be more of the same thing. It would just be more of the same thing. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to go to the public school. I can get more help. I can get more organizational things. There's more structure there for people to be able to help me. And I remember that difficult decision that I had to make, but I did. And I went there. And I started feeling lost again. And what I mean by that is I had support in the right areas. I had support in the right areas, like with my disabilities and with my organizational needs. There were resource rooms and there were people that were able to help me through all of that. I was becoming less lost. But where I was becoming lost was in my faith. Because what I didn't realize that I would miss were all of the things that when I went into ninth grade were my faith. I incredibly liked the Mass. I liked praying before lunches and praying before different events in class. That was something that I really enjoyed. I felt that was a great thing for me. But you know what happened? When I went to public school, that didn't have that structure. I began to feel lost again. Where are you? Right? Where are you, Jesus? In this public school, I certainly didn't miss all of the mistreatment that I was and how mistreated I was in middle school. I didn't miss that, but I missed Jesus. I missed authentically finding Christ in this school. And right about the time, you know, you know you're lost when you start feeling that way. You just know, like, where am I? Where am I? What am I supposed to be doing? And I started feeling that way. And so right around this time of year, October, beginning of October, I had an opportunity freshman year to go to a retreat. Much like this, it was a day retreat, not an overnight. It was a day retreat. And the priest that was the priest at my parish when I was in second grade, as you guys know, priests move. But the priest that was at my parish in second grade, who gave me my first communion and heard my first confession, was the priest that was leading this day away at the diocese. And I hadn't seen him in like 4 or 5 years. And boy, I was really lost. But when I saw him, when I saw Father Joe, Father Joe Watson, I knew that this day was going to be really great. He was a priest that I had trusted, a priest that was a good family friend who we had had over to dinner and gone to go see fireworks with, and he was just a good person. And I went up to Father Joe I said, Father Joe, how are you? It's so great to see you. He could just tell by my body language that this was like going to be a wonderful encounter, you know, for me. And so I said to him, Father Joe, is there any chance you'd have some time over the course of this day to just get together and talk, you know, just 5 minutes, you know, just so I can begin to, you know, get back on track. And he put me back on track that day. He said, you know, Bill, yeah, this is different. Obviously it's different. You've been in, you know, Catholic school for 8 years. You're going off to this public school now. But you felt like the Lord was telling you, hey, you know what? You need more structure. You need some help in these certain areas to better your life. And yeah, you do. You also need to remember the Lord. And so I'm going to be able to help you with that. This group of people called Catholic Leadership Experience is going to be able to help you with that. And from the moment when he was talking during his homily, I'll never forget it. It's one of those moments in your life where the Holy Spirit just takes a 2x4 and whacks you over the head. I remember thinking, you know, that's what I want to do. I want to be able to inspire people. I want to be able to help people. I want to be able to be a role model. That's what I want to be able to do when I grow up. And it was at that moment that I still had feelings of being lost throughout. I could give you many examples throughout my life of me feeling lost. But in that moment, I knew, okay, now I have direction. Now I have purpose. Here's your compass, right? Here's that compass. So from going from all this middle school where I was, you know, picked on and belittled to a place where maybe didn't have the same faith structure, the same masses and Catholic values, to a place that was able to help some of my temporal needs, some of my educational needs. Then on to, okay, if you really want me, you have to go find me, is what Christ was saying, right? If you really want me, you know, I'm not just going to always, I'm going to knock on your heart, but you've got to open the door. So you have to take action. And that's what God was calling me to in those moments. So from that point on in my life, I've always had that compass, always had that direction. Doesn't mean I've wandered off from that path occasionally. But that's what, you know, being a lost sheep that returns home is like. God gives that, as it says in the scripture there, he rejoices greatly at the return. He rejoices greatly at the return. And there's also this level of responsibility that gets roped into that. It's God calling you to watch out for the little ones. And what is a definition of a little one? What exactly does that mean? You know, when I think about applying my story, the witness does no good if we don't apply it to the gospel, and it helps you in your life. You know, our stories and what we each live out as adults or as young people, as teenagers and college students, as we live that out, we have to tell our story. And maybe if you've never heard that before, today, I encourage you to tell your story. You don't have to tell it, to a group of, people. You can tell it to one another, one-on-one at a coffee shop if you're not comfortable speaking to large groups or whatever. But you need to tell your story. Because what that story does is it helps apply it when you apply it to the gospel, when you apply it to your faith, it helps others. And so when I thought about how I was going to apply my experience to the gospel for you, I think about this. I think about who are the little ones, and I think about this chain of witnesses. I think about all the people in my life that have helped me as a little one, right? The incredible thing about the Catholic faith is that it began 2,000 years ago with Jesus dying on a cross and handing the church, as he's dying, to the Apostle John and to his mother, saying, take her into your home. Meaning, take this faith into your heart and then go out and spread it on Pentecost. So this is what the church says. And who are the little ones? It's those who we have authority over. It's those who we have the responsibility to mentor. Your classmates. Those who are less fortunate in this world. Those who are struggling. When you recognize that, those are the little ones, the homeless, right? Those are the little ones you're to go out to. And those are the little ones you're to go serve. And make sure, as Christ says, they don't get lost. And if they are lost, that you find them. And you don't have to go through big evangelical, you know, modes, or know the whole gospel, or, you know, memorize the catechism to do this. All you have to have is the willing heart of a servant that says, let me open up and find your need and see your need and bring you back home. And you might not be able to bring that person all the way back home. You might not, you know, I mean, we deal with big issues, right? There are big issues. But you can get that person help. You can show them the way. You can be a friend. You can just love that person with this love that is, you know, of the Father, that is of service, that is of Christ, that has no other ulterior motive for gaining your own worldly status or making yourself feel better. It's just, this person needs love and I'm going to give it to them. And so who are the little ones in your life? You maybe younger siblings, maybe your classmates, maybe some of your enemies, right? Who are the little ones in your life that you are called to mentor? Because I had a few friends in those classes for me that would, you know, go and roll and pick up the pens and pencils that were rolling across the floor. Thought of a few people at school dances that would make sure that I, you know, had somebody to dance with, or it came up to me and made me feel welcome in middle school. There were moments, and there were people that stuck out as good people, as that helped me, right? Through a very difficult point in my life. So thinking about that, and knowing that you're part of something larger, knowing that and relying on people that can help you, okay? Knowing and relying on people that can help you too. When you're lost, finding somebody like a Father Joe in your life that you can turn to, that you can say, hey, you know what? Do you have 5 minutes to talk? Do you have 5 minutes just to talk and, you know, maybe share our faith over a cup of coffee or somewhere? Recognize who those people are that can help you when you're lost. Because we're all going to get lost. We're all going to wander. You know, it's impossible to be perfect. So have people in your life that say, hey, when I'm lost, I need to turn to you. And, you know, I think the last thing that I want to tell you is this. Recognize when you're lost. When you're lost, you need to recognize when you're lost. You know, Satan, and he's real, wants to throw so many distractions in your path that you just bounce like a pinball through a machine. That's his way of convincing you that he doesn't exist, that you go from experience to experience to experience to experience, and you never recognize that you're lost. You never recognize that you need something more. You never recognize that you strayed off of the narrow path, because all of these enticements have been just put before you. And never more in today's world do I recognize that in the lives of young people and in my own life. That we can bounce from experience to experience to experience to experience to experience. Yeah, this was a wonderful retreat. It was a great experience. But I'm off to the next thing because I've got to go off to volleyball now. Or I have to go off to this thing. I have to do that. No. Slow down and recognize what's important and where the narrow path is. And that being lost, you need Jesus. How do you return home? You listen to the voice of the shepherd. You guys just did that trust walk thing, and I hope that as you talk about it and then you process it and you go through it, you recognize what you were doing was something that may have been a fun activity, but also a lot more than a fun activity. It becomes a sacramental. It becomes a reminder of what it's like to feel lost and what you have to do to return home is listen to that voice that's talking to you. Listen to that voice that is guiding you not to hit the bushes out front or whatever, right? I mean, that's the idea behind this stuff. So just think about those things as you guys go off to your small groups and you talk, you know. So who are those little ones from Matthew chapter 18, verse 10? Who are those little ones? Define what a little one is. And then what responsibility do you have and do you show to those little ones? And then do we neglect the lost or do we go out and search for them, keeping in mind that there's this searching also? In fact, I was on my way driving here, and I'll just leave you with this one final thought, because it popped into my head as I was driving here. Sometimes, from a distance, you can see Holy Hill, like from 6 miles away on the road driving here. Oh, there it is. And as you get closer to the church, it becomes harder to see. You actually become lost getting closer to it. And because you go look for it and it's not there, but you are closer. And sometimes that's what it's like when we recognize that we're lost or we're going to help somebody. They're not all that far away from Jesus. They're not all that far away. They're just a little bit off. And if you can guide that person closer and right back on, they're not all that far away. It's just those little things that you have to do and that they have to do. And when I was driving out here, I thought, oh yeah, that's a really good thought. That's a really good thing. Well, thank you, Holy Spirit, because sometimes we think we're really, really far away from Jesus, and we just need that final tune-up. We just need that final thing to push us back to Him.